Today's gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Mark. Should not be a surprise. We're starting with the seventh chapter at the 24th verse. From there, Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Did you catch that phrase that Jesus said in there? Did you hear Jesus call that woman a dog and her daughter a dog? Every time I read this particular text, I feel like somebody has punched me in the stomach. I mean, certainly the Jesus that I know doesn't go around calling people names like dogs. And I think the biggest issue I have with that is that when I read this, it brings me back to some really unhappy days in high school when name calling was done face to face and not via the internet. When people called each other names like dogs, and it was not something that anyone relished being called. And I also remember that if someone called your mama a dog, there were fists flying. And I'm not going to confess any more than that. But yet, here is Jesus and a woman in need. And he says to her, "You and your daughter are like dogs to me." It just leaves me breathless. But what's even more impressive, I think, is not that Jesus did that, though it is a wow moment for me. What really is the wow moment in this text is her response, right? Many of us would have responded verbally, confrontationally, maybe even violently to something like that. But instead, she is empowered by those words. And instead of hanging her head in shame and walking away, perhaps even in silence, she even more adamantly says, "But even the dogs under the table get the crumbs that fall to the floor." See, she is there because someone she loves is suffering. And she knows that the only way to get what she needs is to find Jesus and to ask Jesus for help. And that's exactly what she does. But before we go into why this woman would be a dog and why there is this verbal back and forth going on between Jesus and this woman, we need to see where Jesus has come from so we understand what he's doing in Tyre in the first place. At this point in the gospel, Jesus is being followed around by a great big crowd. And in the crowds that follow Jesus, there are always a few Pharisees in there. And they're there not to learn necessarily from Jesus, but because they want to catch Jesus doing something wrong. They are waiting to do something or to see him do something that would allow them to accuse him of some kind of heresy, some kind of behavior that the good Jews would never approve of. And so while they are together with the crowd and Jesus and his disciples are there, they find their opportunity. the disciples are found eating without washing their hands. Now, in today's world, we admonish our children to wash their hands before they eat. Many of us often wash our hands before we eat, sometimes. But in Jesus' day, to not wash your hands before you ate made anything that you put in your mouth unclean. And if the food you ate was unclean, then you became unclean. You see, this wasn't about sanitation. This was about ritual purity. And so when they see the disciples eating without washing their hands, without going through the ritual and the tradition of their time, they have something that they can say about Jesus and his disciples, and it pulls just a little of his authority out of him. But Jesus, he would have none of that. And so he tells the crowd publicly in front of those Pharisees that it is not what we put in our mouth that makes us unclean, but it's what comes out of our mouth that makes us unclean. It's the attitudes, the words, and the behaviors that make us unclean. It is not the food we eat that makes us unclean. Now, the disciples, who often get a bad rap in Mark's gospel, and we all know that, don't quite get what Jesus is trying to say. And so privately, later on that day, Jesus pulls those disciples together and he says this: "It is what comes out of a person that defiles, for it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these things come from within, and they defile a person." So, in a few words, what Jesus does is he redefines for the Hebrew people what is clean and what is unclean. What makes a person defiled and what leaves them in the fullness of their humanity. But often, when we begin to redefine or rethink what something means, what that often does is, in the moment, it makes sense. And so we have to ask the question, how far is Jesus willing to take this new understanding of what it means to be clean and unclean? And I think that's where we meet today's text. Because Jesus is willing to take that new definition, that new understanding, all the way to Tyre. And it is quite a distance from Jerusalem to Tyre. You see, Tyre is mostly Gentile territory. So Jesus takes the disciples to a place that is unclean, unclean dirt, unclean homes, unclean eating utensils, unclean people. That's where Jesus goes with those disciples. And on his way there, he decides that it's time for a little R&R. So they go into the home of someone undisclosed, perhaps an unclean person. And that's where they're going to rest. But there will be no rest for them, because suddenly in bursts this crazed woman. Immediately, this is scandalous, because women, no matter whether they were Jew or Gentile, knew that they were not allowed to be alone in the presence of men. This woman comes on her own. She goes into the house. She is a Gentile, and she falls to her knees before Jesus. Her daughter needs help, and she cannot help her daughter by her own power. But she's heard about Jesus. And somehow she has come to believe that Jesus can help her daughter. She has faith, enough faith, to burst into a home and to make her presence known and to actually request something of the one she has heard about. So she falls on her knees to the floor. She has found the one she has been seeking. And then Jesus. Jesus looks right at her and says, "No. No. I haven't come for people like you. I've only come for people like me and these disciples sitting at this table and the people of Israel, God's people." And she fights for all she's worth. She fights because she knows that only Jesus can help her. Now, I would imagine that Jesus's curt answer was probably reason for those disciples to celebrate. I mean, I can just picture them around the table going, "Oh, thank our God that we do not have to deal with this crazy woman and her demon-possessed daughter, because we would all end up unclean just like her." Can you hear them? That's how they would have thought. That's what they would have said. They would not have wanted any part of this. But yet Jesus engages her in conversation, the woman who would not be silenced. You see, I believe that this woman is actually the first true disciple of Jesus Christ, a non-Jew. She knows that she cannot do in her own power what only God can do. And so she seeks and she finds the one who is able to do for her what she could not do for herself. This is a disciple of Jesus Christ. A Gentile, Syrophoenician woman with no status and with nothing to offer. And isn't that most often when we see faith in action, when our own faith pulls us to do things that we would not ever do on our own, when we see people so broken and so hurting that all we can do is fall to our knees and ask God for help, when we see needs that are so great all around us, when we see people underserved, when we see people underfed, when we see people who cannot care for themselves because they do not have their own resources, whether physical resources or some other resources, financial resources or mental resources or academic resources, those are the times that our hearts break apart and we fall to our knees. On behalf of others, we become intercessors, advocates, and missionaries. Who speaks for the underserved and unwanted and unloved? Who speaks for those who have nothing, who have lost everything? Who extends a hand instead of simply a dollar, so that those who are deemed unclean in our world know that they have dignity and worth? Consider, just for a brief moment, some of the ministries that we offer out of this church: School on Sunday and Quincy's Quest. For children who do not have the resources they need to be successful, even in elementary school. Or the Vault team that goes and does eye exams and gives eyeglasses. Or Sandwich Blessings that goes to where the homeless are and feeds them and talks to them and prays with them. Or the Plano Overnight Warming Station, where those who have no place to lay their head have a clean bed to sleep in, a meal in the evening, and people who will talk with them and treat them like human beings. Who goes and falls to their knees when they know that they cannot meet the needs of those around us. If not us, if we are not the people that fall to our knees and become advocates and intercessors and missionaries, then who? Who would do this? See, I believe that this woman understood who she was, and I believe that she knew exactly what her status was before Jesus. She knew that she had no status, she knew she wasn't Jewish, and she knew that her place was at his feet, like a dog. I don't think this woman lacked self-esteem. I think she had a lot of it. And I think what she also had that many of us fail to have is the courage to face where we are and the faith to go find the answers that we need. It takes courage to say that we are not able to do the things that we think we should be able to do. It takes courage to get on our face on the floor, to know that our pride is the thing that will keep us off the floor. It takes faith to take the next step. She had it all, and she used every ounce of what she had to get what she thought she needed from Jesus. You see, the truth is that Jesus does not ever say, "You who have the most money and the most resources and the most degrees, I'm going to lift you up and put you on pedestals. I'm going to put you in leadership positions." Jesus never, ever says to the religious elite, "You are going to lead my people to the promised land." Jesus never lifts those kinds of people up who believe that they are more important than the common person. Jesus never lifts them to power. Instead, Jesus does exactly what Jesus has always said he would do. He has come to be the physician for the sick. He has come to find those who are lost. He has come so the meek and the weak would be encouraged and lifted to new heights. That's who Jesus came for. That's the power of the gospel. That's what this woman knew and understood. That only on her knees could she experience the power of the gospel in her, the good news of Jesus Christ for people just like her. She knew her place. We should all learn our place. I tend to think that in Jesus Christ, we have all we need to meet the needs of the world we live in. But I also think that we need to understand that unless we are willing to fall to our knees and to receive the crumbs that fall from the table, we will never know what it means to taste and see that the Lord is good. At the end of this story, this woman is told to go home, that her daughter is well, and she is. But that's not the end of Jesus' story, and it's not the end of how Jesus interacts with common, unclean people. After Jesus leaves Tyre, he goes on to the Decapolis, 10 small towns that make up a large geography, almost entirely Gentile. No Jews. It is said that there are some people that bring a man to Jesus. He is deaf and mute. And Jesus, who has already said that what is unclean is not a person, but what comes out of a person, touches the man's ears and his tongue, and his mouth is opened and his ears are unplugged. A simple touch of grace a few crumbs from the master's table. Jesus does not stop with Israel's children. He goes far beyond, even this early in the gospel. When people, us, realize that only God can work through us the things that need to be worked through, that we have no power aside from God's power in us, then we understand the importance of landing on our knees and waiting for the crumbs to fall. Perhaps on this day, we might consider that it might be a good day to be a dog.